It's quite noticeable in his actions. He made the heavens and the earth, and having made the heavens and the earth, they're his to do whatever he wants to do with. And he has a habit, an established pattern, that he's been pretty consistent at for some period of time. It's using his own creation to fulfill his own prophecies by his own powers. And I don't know where in the world I put that pointer. Must have put it in my coat pocket. God has used these tectonic plates for a lot of different things. Notice this one tectonic plate that runs up the Red Sea and then runs right up through Israel. He's used that before, and he's going to use it again in the tribulation period to fulfill his own prophecies by his own power. There are several different places in the Bible where man reaches a point where his sinfulness is so disgusting, so immorally horrifying, so degenerate that God takes action. And it always seems to be in association with some form of sodomy, some sort of homosexuality or lesbianism. There's a very distinct pattern of that in the Bible. Now, I'm going to talk about these plates on Wednesday night from here on out. But there's something we ought to consider and think about as we do. The first generation of man, not generation, but the first group of mankind, began with Adam and Eve, and there came a point in time where only one line of genealogy from Seth, only one, had not been corrupted by worshiping false gods, and so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But from the time that Adam and Eve produced Seth, and eventually, mankind spread out across the earth and began to multiply. There's something that always happens to mankind. Whenever they start out pretty good. But man is naturally sinful. And with the passage of time, he just gets more and more and more sinful. He's totally depraved at birth, but as he grows older, he develops a style of committing sin and rather enjoys it. And such was the case from the time that Seth began to bear a son, Enos, and then he began to bear other sons. Cain had sons. And pretty soon in Genesis 6:5, this was the state of the world. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Noah was about the only man on the earth if that wasn't true. When wickedness comes to the fullness, look out. Because that's when God always acts, when God deems it to have come to the fullness. Now Romans 1:24 through 32 tells us very clearly what the Lord meant in Genesis 6:5. When it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Romans 1:24 through 32. Wherefore, this is talking about those people, the days of the flood. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, lesbianism. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, homosexuality. And because of it, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And today, HIV and AIDS is a recompense that is quite appropriate to this rebellion against God you see in the ranks of homosexuality. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He said, if you don't want to include me in your thought process, that's fine. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But what did God do? Genesis 6, 11 through 13. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh, had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I would say that what you just heard, what you just read, is a very accurate description of what this present day earth is like. I would say that if you have watched your television and you have watched people try not to retain God in their thoughts, and they don't want his rules or commandments or anywhere close to them, they don't want to have anything to do with it, and now they're sanctioning gay and lesbian marriages out in San Francisco, and a large portion of the American public thinks it's all right. I never dreamed that we would ever reach the depravity and the immorality and the ungodliness of the description that this carries as to the human race before the flood. But if we're not there, we're so close you can taste it. Every time evil comes to the fullness, and God looks down upon mankind, and he sees a pattern like this, then God acts. And look out. When wickedness comes to fullness, look out. So how did God destroy them with the earth? Genesis 7, verses 11 and 12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. For a long time, men didn't know this. But now we know it to be true. All along these red lines on the ocean seafloor, there are fountains. There are fountains of liquid hot water that pour up continually along those red lines. And we know they have been disrupted severely in the past. And the Pacific tectonic plate itself is one huge, massive plate. The Bible says that God broke up the fountains of the great deep. Those tectonic plate boundaries are the fountains of the great deep. And God lifted some of these plates. And when he lifted these plates, the water had to go somewhere. And it came up on the land. And God used the earth to flood the earth to fulfill his own prophecy of destruction upon mankind by his own power. I don't think God is going to leave anything to chance. I think when all of this is over, people are going to know exactly how God did it, and they're not going to forget it for 1,000 years. Genesis 7, 11, and 12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. You may look in any reference source you want to look in. It will tell you the great deep represents the oceans and seafloors of the world. Over two-thirds of these cracks are on the ocean seafloor. They contain the fountains of the great deep. The water came up from underneath the earth, came up and flooded the earth. And when it did, it generated tremendous, unbelievable thunderstorms along all of those plate boundaries. And it rained for 40 days 40 nights, and the windows of heaven, the earth's atmosphere, were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. There were only 8 survivors. All the others, with the exception of Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, perished in the flood. And God started over again. Man is basically the same. By the time of Abraham, with the birth of his nephew Lot, and they parted ways over in the area to the west of the Dead Sea, and Lot went over into the area around the Dead Sea to a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says that Lot was the only righteous man in the city, and his character had also degenerated to the point that he was not nearly as clean living and clean thinking a man as he had been before he went and lived in that wicked place. So God sent angels to warn Lot to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah because their immorality, their ungodliness, had come to the full. Angels do not have wings. They look just like men. And they came, and they visited Lot, and told Lot what God was going to do. They were fresh meat in town. They were brand new males in town that none of the other males had seen. If it weren't for San Francisco, I might have a hard time convincing you that a city could degenerate to where a normal human heterosexual wouldn't be safe. But I'll tell you, if San Francisco is left alone, within another 3 or 4 years, if the Lord hasn't come, a heterosexual won't be safe in San Francisco. And the same thing was true with these men who the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah thought they were men rather than angels. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." They weren't talking about a welcome wagon. They weren't talking about shaking hands with them, telling them how glad they were to see them and how they hoped they liked their community. They wanted to know them. And they wanted to know them sexually, in a homosexual way. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Now let me show you how far down Lot had gotten in his way of thinking. "Behold now, I have 2 daughters which have not known men." They're virgins. He said, "I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes." They didn't want the women. They wanted the men. "Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And here's what the gaze outside said. "And they said, stand back." And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge, referring to Lot. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the man put forth, the men, the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Well, God destroyed the earth. He flooded it. And then God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah by fire and by brimstone. And he destroyed them all. How bad was the rest of the world? The Bible doesn't say. But it couldn't have been as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. First, God dealt with a whole population that had spread out across the entire Tigris-Euphrates River Valley and even further. And God dealt with it. Then he dealt with a local city, 2 cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed them. Why? Their conduct had become so immoral and so ungodly, so depraved, that God could no longer put up with it, and he destroyed them all, with the exception of Lot and his two daughters. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Well, that's just exactly the way it is right now. You've got the laws of this land, which were established from the commandments of God, thrown in a trash can. You've got acts of perversion that are so degenerate that they're disgusting, even to the normal human being who does not know Christ. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It began suddenly. Suddenly it started pouring down rain. It didn't start slowly. It started suddenly and abruptly. And eventually all on the earth perished, with the exception of Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Had you been there and watched this, had I been there and watched this, it would have stunned us beyond reality. It's a whole lot different just reading about it. But to know all those people and to see their lives in a 40-day flood must have been a very staggering thing for Noah and his family. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That fault line runs underneath Sodom and Gomorrah. God opened it, sent fire and brimstone up into the heavens, and it came down and destroyed them all. God used those plates to flood the earth. He made them. God used his own creation to fulfill his own prophecy. God used the crack that runs under Sodom and Gomorrah. He used it further on down to destroy Korah and his followers who rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And he opened it up and swallowed them, and fire came up out of the crack. When God gets ready to execute judgment, he very frequently uses the things he created by himself in the beginning to fulfill the prophecies that were in the future. What's very curious about this verse 29, after he tells you that on that certain day that God went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from the heaven and destroyed them all, he tells you it's going to be just like that when he destroys the earth this time. Only it's not going to be local. It's going to be everywhere. And it's not by accident that the fault line runs directly underneath San Francisco. That's not by accident. That's the San Andreas Fault. That's the worst part of it. Runs right underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. I've surveyed it. And you're going to see the lesbian and homosexual community out there, the gays, you're going to see them die by the millions because of their absolute rebellion against God. And many people in this country think it's okay. It's not okay. It's wrong. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And anything else is not just wrong, it's ungodly and immoral. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The word revealed is apocalypse. It means completely exposed. You see him in the air. When Jesus comes back, you're going to see the greatest natural holocaust along those tectonic plate boundaries that the world has ever seen. You're going to see volcanic eruptions by the thousands going off all over the earth, along all those red lines. You're going to see thousands and thousands of great earthquakes tearing across those tectonic plates. You're going to see all hell break loose on this earth. There never will have been a time like it before, and never will be a time like it again. And I don't think it's a long way off. I think it's coming in a relatively short period of time. Luke 21:27. So what will it be like when the Son of Man is revealed? Apocalypse, when it's the second advent. It's when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period and every eye shall see him. Luke 21:25-27. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Do you know what produces tsunami waves? volcanic eruptions and earthquakes on the seafloor. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see, Apocalypse revealed, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When wickedness comes to fullness, look out. If this isn't the way the world is today, exactly as Timothy described it, then I don't know how any other way you could possibly describe it. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. This is the day that we live in. This is the day that's coming. The first earthquake in the book of Revelation occurs on the opening of the sixth seal. Revelation 6, 12, the first part of the verse. The first earthquake in Revelation occurs on the opening of the sixth seal. You will not find a single earthquake mentioned before the opening of the sixth seal in the sixth chapter. And this is the first great earthquake in the book of Revelation. And I beheld, when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. I'm convinced that earthquake is going to occur in the Jordan River Valley. And I believe it's going to start a natural chain reaction of earthquakes all over the earth. And you're going to have earthquake after earthquake after earthquake ripple through that Jordan River Valley. And you're going to see all the terrible things the Bible describes happening in Israel. Eventually, at the end, in the middle, you'll see the Mount of Olives divide. You'll see the land from Geba to Rimmon lifted up. You'll see a spring formed on the Temple Mount. You'll see a multiplicity of other things. You'll see a great, huge wine press filled with red-hot flowing liquid rock for 1,600 furlongs. It extends from the Gulf of Alat, the Gulf of Aqaba, all the way up for 1,600 furlongs until it comes up to the point where a fault line comes down from Haifa, down the Valley of Megiddo and the plain of Jezreel, and connects with it. You're going to see all hell break loose on this earth at this first great earthquake. No one can predict the exact time this is going to occur. But I might as well be honest with you. I think this earthquake will occur before 2008. Could I be wrong? Sure, I know that. But a man ought to tell people what he thinks. And if he tells them in advance, that's what he thinks, that's what he believes. But that he could be wrong, I think that's better than not telling them at all. And I honestly believe this earthquake is probably going to occur before 2008. And I have a strong suspicion it is the earthquake that occurs at the same time that the Antichrist attacks Israel from the north, which I expect to occur before 2008. The last earthquake in Revelation occurs on the pouring out of the seventh vial of God's wrath. You have earthquake after earthquake after earthquake after earthquake. You have an earthquake on the seventh seal. You have earthquakes all during the trumpets that follow the seven trumpets. You have them all during the vials that follow. Then you have the last earthquake in Revelation occurring on the pouring out of the seventh vial of God's wrath. That's the end of God's wrath. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. This is where the great city of Jerusalem is divided into three parts. Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. That's Revelation 16, 18. Now, this is a fact. All the terrifying earthquakes, all the fire, all the brimstone of the tribulation period occurs between the sixth seal, which is the first earthquake in the book of Revelation, and the last vial, the seventh vial, which is the last vial in the book of Revelation. Now, mountains and islands are mentioned only twice in the book of Revelation. On the opening of the sixth seal and the pouring out of the last vial. Now, I said together. Islands are only mentioned twice in the whole book. Mountains are mentioned one other time or a couple of times separately. But mountains and islands are mentioned together only twice in the entire book of Revelation. And it's not by chance that it's on the opening of the sixth seal, which is the first earthquake recorded in the book of Revelation, and the pouring out of the last vial, which is the last earthquake in the book of Revelation. All the mountains and islands begin to change their latitudinal and longitudinal positions on the opening of the sixth seal and reach their final geographical locations on the pouring out of the last vial. Every single island and every single mountain on the surface of God's earth is firmly attached to the crust of the earth. There's no difference between a mountain and an island. All a mountain is an island that doesn't have water around it. And all an island is a mountain that does have water around it. And the roots of the mountains are more firmly impregnated in the crust of the earth, more stable than any other features on this earth. These huge pieces of the earth's crust float and move on these underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. God made the earth that way. It continually regenerates itself. In one area here, it's going back under the earth and being remelted. In another area over here, it's coming back up and forming new crust. The earth continually renews itself. It's eternal like that. In the sense that it keeps on renewing itself. You have the oxygen cycle, the hydrogen cycle, the nitrogen cycle. You can see God's hand in all this creation. God is eternal. He's like a circle. He never ends. And when he makes something, you can see his hand in it. It keeps on regenerating itself. And God made the earth. And he made these tectonic plates. And they're his to use as he sees fit. Those mountains and islands have been changing latitudinal and longitudinal coordinates since God made the earth. Every mountain and island, because pilots don't like to run into them when they fly, and ships and pilots have to find islands out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean, they have a fixed set of latitudinal and longitudinal coordinates in degrees, minutes, seconds, and microseconds. It's only one way the microsecond latitudinal and longitudinal coordinates of every island and mountain on the earth can be changed. These plates have to move. And during the tribulation period, God's going to move them anywhere from 3 to 4 feet. And it's going to produce that tremendous holocaust. All the mountains and islands begin to change their latitudinal and longitudinal positions on the opening of the sixth seal. That's when they start to break up and move. I think they'll move 3 to 4 feet, maybe more in some places. And they'll finally reach their final geographical location on the pouring out of the last vial. What produces earthquakes? Tension and pressure along those plate boundaries. Some of those tensional pressures have built up over centuries. During the tribulation period, all that pressure is going to be released. And during the millennial reign for 1,000 years, the only earthquake you'll feel will be just a slight tremor from time to time. Some of the things that God indicates are going to happen. I thank God I know his Son is Savior. Luke 21:11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Those fearful sights and great signs coming from heaven are going to shock this planet. Right now we're engaged in watching court trials, trying to decide whether Scott Patterson killed his wife or whether he didn't. And we're watching this doctor who supposedly murdered his wife. And we watch the O.J. Simpson trial. And the whole American public is caught up in radio serials and a type of what I call opium, where they smoke the pipe and they just drift through life and see themselves as one day going into a nursing home and then drifting out into oblivion. There are going to be over 6 million people on this earth. Already are. 6 billion people, I should say. Maybe as many as 7 billion people on this earth when this happens. When all hell breaks loose, nobody is going to be fully prepared for it. Before the flood, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. But God promised man he would never again flood the earth. And when God says something, you can count on it being 100% truth. But he never promised he wouldn't destroy it by fire, or at least severely scorch it during the tribulation period. Malachi 4:1. For the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. In the coming Wednesday nights, I'm going to be talking about this great crack that runs northward through Israel. I'm going to be talking how it's associated with the destruction of the tongue of the Egyptian sea, how it's associated with the creation of a flood basalt plain, 1,600 furlongs long in the Bible. I'm going to be discussing how it's related to the splitting of the Mount of Olives. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different horrifying things that are going on in Israel. There are too many prophecies in the Bible about this for it not to be absolutely true. Luke, Isaiah 29:6, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. I bow before God and stand before man and tell you that along those tectonic plate boundaries, that's where every one of those phenomena are produced. Luke 17, 28 through 30. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now notice, he says, even thus shall it be. So it's going to be just like that all over the earth in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Isaiah 24:1 and 19 and 20. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The Hebrew words that are used for clean dissolved means rent asunder. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard on its geomagnetic axis in space, and shall be removed like a cottage, like a hammock. That's what the word cottage means, swinging back and forth in a hammock. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. It will never be the same again. Never. I never dreamed as a young man that the day would come when I would see the human race degenerate to a society that either has no respect for God or very little respect for God or doesn't like God at all. We've made our own form of worship. We've made our own type of God that suits our convenience. And churches are filled with people who aren't worshiping God like he directed, but it's convenient for them. And they mold and make their own God, just like they'd go out and take a tree, cut it down, chisel it down into a figure that they like the look of, and that would be their God because they liked it and because it was shaped and formed like they wanted. Most of our churches in this country are filled with people who have created a God to suit them. And they don't worship in the way that the God of this universe directed. They don't have the respect for him to do it his way. And you know there are Christians, people that claim they are Christians today, that don't see anything wrong with gay marriage, and yet they say they're Christians. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Well, it's 1 minute till, so I'll stop there. And Lord willing, next Wednesday night, we'll get over into some of the things that are supposed to happen in the earth itself, volcanic eruptions and the Kalaza and all the different things that come down on the earth. And we'll try to get into the nitty-gritty of it. Brother.